expanding our RNO, so that's going to be the big header, and then we'll say in collaboration with EdCo underneath it. Do keep in mind that SLED right now is sort of in this without a home sort of position that we talked a little bit about in the past. The city is going to sponsor, at least administratively, the continuance of the work they're doing right now. They're still surviving on their own funding because they go out and they collect their own funds for local businesses and whatnot. We make a contribution, the county makes a contribution, but they're not a standalone entity in that they don't have their own charter, they don't have their own bylaws, they're just sort of this group that used to exist as a card and credit card, and now they're on their own. So we sort of adopted them for the time being. The contract accountant and I are discussing how we're going to approach getting them to go in the direction of maybe 501c3 formation next year, because I really think that's the most appropriate. They don't really report to me, I don't report to them, they don't report to you, they just sort of exist in space, like I said. So we're going to push them in that direction. For the time being, we're sort of the foster parent, if you will. But they're getting their own identity now, which I think is really great, and I can report that EdCo has really stepped up and is really helping us in just about every aspect of what we're doing. The only thing that we have coming up that we're doing on our own is the annual luncheon, which is scheduled for October. Remains to be seen if that's going to happen given the restraints of COVID and the weather, because if there's a mask mandate, or if we can't technically do it indoors because of social distancing, the concept is to do it outdoors, but then the weather becomes an issue. So it's sort of tentative right now. We do have a number of tables sponsored. Right now we expect somewhere between about 50 to 70 people. And we have two keynote speakers, one of which is one of the head economists from the state of Oregon. So we're making great strides in moving forward with that, especially considering that about 60, 70 days ago, we didn't know if they were going to continue to exist. So I'm very happy about that.
Is that David Rumber?
Yes, that is the individual. Moving forward, as far as land use planning, we did submit a transportation growth management grant. The county had worked on this with the city in the past. The concept is to get the funds for a master plan for the remaining 240 acres in Newberry area north of Crescent Creek. We're asking the state for $175,000 for that. The county has indicated that they want to go forward, whether or not we get the grant. I should expect to hear back from them sometime in September whether or not they approved our grant application for that work, that we would hire an outside multi-range planner in transportation, land use, development, housing, to basically bring that plan together. I mean, we're talking about a document that's going to be yay thick. I mean, it's not just going to happen in a day, but we do want a master plan, not only for the housing facilities to be put in there, to make sure there's a variety of housing facilities in addition to the transportation connections that are going to happen between Huntington, Burgess, 97, and the south end of Crescent Creek right now. On the short term, I did want to let you know that I submitted an ODOT grant, the Small Cities Allotment Grant, which gives us about $100,000 annually when we are awarded the grant. I attached on a page behind the narrative the area that Jake and I chose that we thought would benefit most right now. Usually when you apply for these grants, they're for street improvements, but as you know, we don't own many of the streets in La Pine. Most of them are owned by the county. So past projects have included sidewalk updates. As the southeast corner of the community continues to become sort of the hottest area for building outside of the Crescent Creek Newberry area, I've noticed that a lot of people use the sidewalk along Finley Butte, but it stops a few blocks short of 97. And it does not continue around the other end of where all that development is happening, which is the south end of Huntington. So I did a rough estimate based on some figures from engineers of what we could get for $100,000, and we can basically get the rest of the sidewalk constructed from Huntington, from the commercial area that people walk to along that road where people are typically driving between 40 and 55 miles an hour, and create a safe walking area. And that was what we basically submitted to ODOT and what they asked for.
And that goes from where the mobile home park is to Highway 97?
It would connect, yes, and it would also wrap around the corner and connect to the current part of Finley Butte.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there would be one continuous sidewalk.
All the way to Heath Drive.
Yes, exactly. It remains to be seen what side we would want to put it on, and surveying the area. we definitely have some right, we have plenty of right of way, but there's existing trees, I'm talking on the east side, and there's an area of existing sidewalk on the west side, that there's a nice little stretch of it that ODOT may want to take advantage of it already being there, so. But the concept is to take that one long continuous walking area and give people a safe walk here to take part on the downtown view.
Right, that's good.
Moving on, I did want to share with you the report, and I'm sorry the punctuation mark showed up in it. This was a small report from the contract accountant. So I had mentioned to you before how I would really like us to get the majority of our balance, which is about $7.5 million, our bank balance, into essentially the state savings account compared to our WaFed account. The return rate right now on our WaFed account is about 0.15%, and the state account is 0.55. We're talking about a difference in interest accrual of $933 a month. So we'd be close to $39,000 a year in revenue and interest revenue if we moved over to that state account versus, you know, we're basically about $14,000 right now with the WaFed account. So that just shows you, in, you know, very plain text what we're missing out on. And I know that's not a decision that you guys made in the past. That was made years ago before any of you probably even dreamed of being on the council. But it hasn't been updated and we're missing out on a lot of money. So with your good grace, you know, and approval, if you're okay with that, I'll go ahead and make the executive decision to shift the majority of our funds over. We typically would keep like the floating balance in the WaFed account of about $300,000. So there's never any surprises. That's just what we want to keep day to day, month to month, but the majority of the funds would be in that state account.
Does anyone have any problems with that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need a vote?
You don't need a vote. If anybody had any objections, I want to discuss them, so. And that is a backed fund. That's not just something that's floating out there. So, friends, this is really important. The Board of County Commissioners has been wanting to set up a joint meeting between the City Council and the Board of County Commissioners. There's a number of topics that they would want to discuss. We don't have to discuss all of them, but one of them would be the planning of the Newberry neighborhood. That's a big one for them. They're probably going to want to discuss roads a little bit, because they do own the roads, and at some point they want us to take them over. I did meet with Commissioner Cavone today, and I made it very clear that we've only had the road SDC program for years, so we're nowhere near being ready to take over the roads. We can't carry that financial responsibility at this time. But basically, they just want to catch up with you guys and, you know, discuss areas of life interest, because as you all know, as I've made it abundantly clear in my time here, our relationship with them is strong, and it needs to be, and it's very symbiotic, and I think we need to maintain that. So I don't know if you would want to entertain maybe having a workshop at the next meeting in 2 weeks, an hour before the regularly scheduled time, or maybe start the workshop at 5:30 and move the regular meeting to 6:30. They're willing to come down here though. They're not expecting you to go to Tibet.
Right. So we've had it here,
you
know, generally here anyways. I think that's probably a good idea. Everybody be here in the next meeting?
Yes. And either of the time suggestions would work for me. So.
Okay. Yeah, however it works the best for them.
Okay, so I'll quote both times, either starting at 4:30 or 5:30, and see what might work best for them.
Right.
Okay.
That will be
a workshop.
Yeah.
Prior to the regularly scheduled business meeting of the council. And that's still open to the public, but we're not going to be passing any business or anything. It's going to be, you know, let's discuss the issues that we're both concerned about as the two jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to give you an update on the industrial park. Let's see here. Oh, I'm sorry. No, these are actually the issues that they suggested. In the very neighborhood, we talked about that. Homelessness issues and the industrial park. I think those are the ideas right now. As far as the industrial park, though, I did want to mention we did close on a couple of option agreements. So we're getting some movement over there finally, which is great, beyond the spec building process. So we've actually got a couple of agreements signed now. We've received the earnest money. And both of those entities have a year to exercise those options, so they're not going to be breaking ground right now. But it's a movement we haven't seen in a while, which is fantastic. We're finally generating some interest over there. Let's see, in closing, I wanted to let you know about TextMyGov. If you read my report, you're probably familiar with this. We've gone ahead and purchased a service where on our homepage there's going to be a widget, basically a button. And any citizen who's concerned or interested in any subject area can just type in a buzzword, and we're going to pre-program it to where that buzzword will then elicit either a link to the ordinances or instructions or documents that the person can then download and basically fill out without having to come down here or pick up the phone. So it is going to take probably about 60 days to get at least the working draft in of the things that we're going to start with, but it's a 24/7 way for the citizens to access, and they can do it from their phone, they can do it from the computer, and basically get an instant answer. So there's only one other city in Oregon right now that's using it, which is Creswell, and it's been very successful for them. It's a pretty small investment for what we're going to get out of it. The concept is to make government more accessible to our citizenry, so we went ahead and pulled the trigger on that. And that's what I've got for this one, guys.
Okay, so one little quick update while we're at the manager's thing. The private vehicles and trailers now have increased, are still parked on the industrial area city property across from the residence on MITS.
Mm-hmm.
Now multiple vehicles are parked over there, so it's increasing, not decreasing.
Okay. The law enforcement was supposed to tag and bag, so to speak, the original vehicle.
The whatever cul-de-sac, that first cul-de-sac is there off of William Foss. No, it's Finley View. That the second house in are the owners of the vehicles. I think they're the Dye residents or something.
Okay. Well, you and I can discuss that after the meeting, and maybe they could drive tomorrow. But yes, that original vehicle was supposed to get a notice, so I'll follow up with Lieutenant DeLuca and find out what's going on.
I have one question on your report. You mentioned the League of Oregon Cities. It's the conference that's coming up in October. Do you know if they're going to go ahead and have that conference, and if so, I just was wondering if we could have a discussion on whether the council is attending and how we're going to do that.
So right now, they're still planning on having it in person. That hasn't changed. Have any of you ever been to one before? You have, okay. Was it the one that was in Bend?
No, I went to one, over in the Salem area? Or
I think you guys went to Eugene, didn't you?
Either in Eugene, Salem, or Bethesda, some of these sort of recurring spots. So yeah, when you go to one that's out of the area, you stay like 2 or 3 nights, it can be a 2, 3, or 4 day event, depending on what you want to stay for. The fourth day is typically it's not really worthwhile for council members because it's just a business meeting for the officers that are on the league's board. It's pretty dry. But the first couple days are really valuable because you're getting not only legal updates, but you're seeing all kinds of new innovative products, different ways of dealing with difficult issues like homelessness and land use and development codes. It's, in my opinion, the most valuable conference you can go to all year if you're a city manager or a council member. So this one's going to be in bed, and so that's why I brought up the other issue. We don't necessarily need to spend the night. But if you guys want to go, I budgeted for it, so I can.
I'm very interested in that.
Okay. I am too. I would like to go for the first day, Thursday, and I noticed that they have a counselor luncheon there where they were going to discuss a good topic. So do I let you know that I would like to be registered, or how do we, or should I meet with Jamie?
You can just let me know, but they don't really do an a la carte registration. You either sign up for the whole thing or none. So you can just go for one day, that's fine, but it's not like we're only going to pay for the one day.
Okay, all right.
And I'll just let you know. I know for sure I want to go to that one luncheon on the Thursday.
All right,
you
want to
go?
Yes. I'll double check my schedule though and let you know, but I would really like.
So I'll send all of you a link tomorrow to your city email addresses. It has the whole schedule, basically the whole syllabus, so you can see what's on what days, and you can sort of figure out if you think it's going to be worth your time. But I can't stress it enough how valuable it is, not just in terms of what you're going to learn, what you're going to meet, contemporaries from the communities, and it's the socialization aspect of it in terms of what you do here is really important. So.
Okay. Good. So then that's our manager's report. The next thing on our docket is the KNCP, the Pine High School Sports Broadcast Sponsorship. I think that they were requesting $500 this year to provide advertising for the city in a number of different manners.
That is correct, Mr. Mayor. So, you know, generally this is aimed at businesses that are going to get the exposure during the broadcast of the Pine Hawks football games. It's basically a matter of goodwill for us in support of not only the Berry Radio, but the high school football program.
Yeah, exactly. So does anybody have any questions about this? Does this require a motion?
Yeah.
Because it was under 500. All right, so then all those in favor of supporting the KNCP radio and the Pine Hawks football thing for a $500 community funding request, say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Okay, so we're good with that. Our next thing is the Veterans Memorial Flag Poles funding request. Did you want to speak on that? So if you just come up and who you are, you know.
This on? Hello, good evening. My name is Carl Bass. I am the president of the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 821 Vernal County. We have Dan Hoffman, who's sitting back there, who is the president of our Veterans of Foreign War Chapter 7242. And I'll just kind of read what the letter I think most of you might have got. Memorial Brick Garden was created in about 2017 to honor local veterans of all wars. It's done by the Vietnam Veterans of America, Lapine VFW Post 7242, and also in cooperation with the Lapine Parks Rec. The Brick Garden is located just south of the library. If you're not familiar, it's kind of right across from the fire station. We just waited. That's right where it's at. So we've got about 400 bricks that are there that represent veterans, mostly all local veterans or relatives of local veterans. They go back, actually there's one there from the Civil War, representing a veteran from the Civil War. Mostly we have living veterans from the Second World War, from the Medal of Honor recipient up to our current things going on right now. Veterans do not have to be dead, they just have to be a veteran. About 400 bricks there. We have around the bricks, there are seven flag poles. There's one in the middle which has the American flag and the POW flag. And there's one that has the Army, represents the Army, the Marine, the Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and the Merchant Marine. And these are, originally this was done with flexible, portable flag poles because it was intended to achieve, and we also didn't worry about vandalism, so we got to take them down and put them up in the media. But over the years, they're starting to show a lot of wear and tear because they're not really the strongest ones in the world. If you're watching when you get them up there, they lean a lot, they fall down a lot, and so they're really getting their life expectancy is just about at an end. So we need to be requesting some permanent flag poles to put up there, stay there from room 24/7, get the flags up there all year long. Is what I do. That's our plan. I went to U.S. Flag. Or bid for to replace these flags would cost us $6,243 for seven permanent flags. The one with the poles, one would be 25 feet tall, the other is all 20. It's actually taller than the ones we have there now. And so we have about $4,000 of our own funds that we'd like to use for it. And so we come to the city to request an additional $2,243 so we can complete this project. It's something that I know whenever I'm taking them up and putting them down, I get a lot of very positive support. It enhances the city. Looks very good. So, any questions?
Okay. So is there any discussion? Do you have any questions, Kathy?
I'm going to
Yeah, that was one of our issues. We're going to do, when we get them, we're going to run cable rather than rope. And then we're going to put the lanyard, which was the thing, high up. But you're thinking maybe 6 or 8 feet. So we can get a step ladder to get up and go and raise the flag. And I thought it was kind of, you just automatically replace the flags every 6 months or so. So it's all in good shape.
Yeah, no, I like the idea. The only question I have is, does this place include the installation of these, or have you got volunteers? How are we doing that?
Well, we have a few good volunteers I think we can do. We've done it before.
Okay. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, if not, I think we'll be looking for volunteers. No,
well, if there's some way that I can help.
Yeah. I should mention too, we'll have a solar light on the American flag so that it'll be actually legal to have it up at 24 hours.
I just wanted to say that the Memorial Brook Garden and the flags really, I think it speaks well of Lapine, and it brings us together as a community when we see that. And I appreciate the fact that you provided the invoice and a very detailed request to us that makes sense, and we know where the money is going. So thank you.
Thank you. Courtney?
Yeah, I don't have any questions, but thank you. Thank you for doing this. This is awesome. So definitely want to see it in good condition and looking great. So.
Okay. Do we have a motion to support the Veterans Memorial with the funding for their new flagpoles?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a first and a second to fund the new flagpoles for the Veterans Memorial. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, so we got new flagpoles.
Hi, what's up with this one? I've been a part of a couple other flag pole programs and projects. Picking up on some advice on getting some of that stuff going. Little things like making sure your cables are internal, so people can't vandalize them, so I'm internal in the flag.
Right. You were better to internal, but you
expensive.
Yeah, I think we could have got two flagpoles.
Okay.
That was a big decision.
That was their reason for putting the guy way up high so nobody can get at it.
I might have some other helpful stuff. Let's talk afterwards.
I looked at the school district. They have to have actually a cap off.
Right.
In a box. Or, you know, think of maybe high.
I wouldn't think people would vandalize the flag, but.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to speak about the proclamation from the city of Lapine, number 2021-01 for Constitution Week. Do we have like a staff report on that?
Yeah, so this is something that comes up each year in pretty much every city across the country. The Daughters of the American Revolution ask every recognized jurisdiction, city and county, to pass this proclamation each year in recognition of the Constitution Week, which goes through September 17th through the 23rd. That's nationally recognized, and this is just an ask of us to make a formal recognition of that.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone have any questions about this, Kathy?
No.
Mike?
No.
Colleen? Courtney?
No.
No, we're good. Do we have a motion to accept this proclamation? And a second?
I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor of permitizing this proclamation for declaring September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week here in the city of Lapine, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, so that's very good. All right, our next order of business is the Park and Recreation Music in the Pines funding. I think in your packet there's a funding thing. I think they went $2,500. Do we have any discussion on this, Colleen?
I do have discussion. I am totally in favor of the program. I think it has really brought a lot of the community out to enjoy the music in the park. The only problem I have with this request is I would just be requesting that it the previous request, how they show where the money was coming from, you know, where it's going. I just felt that was missing from this request. So I'm totally in support of the request, but not the lack of detail.
Okay, Courtney?
I agree that I'm in support of the funding. I'm curious when this came in. I know that the last event is next week, but.
It came in several different parts.
Okay.
So the letter that you have to the side of your packet was something I received back in June before the first concert. And then the actual community grant application was something that I had to ask for 3 weeks ago before the last meeting. Mm-hmm. So I never actually had the application. And they didn't fill out a budget to go with it. Now, I do know that B. Hatler, she came to me and brought this up in June and explained what it was for and the importance of Music in the Pines, but again, there was no detail given as to exactly how the fund breakdown was going to be dispersed amongst the four or five concerts, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just passing along their message that I got in several parts, basically.
What's interesting to me, and excuse me for talking out of turn, but in the letter that this gentleman read, they're explaining this amount of money came in, this is where it's going, and so it was very clear to me where the funds would be spent and how. Whereas this request doesn't include that.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It sort of came in several parts from different people, so I haven't audited those two pieces of information to reconcile exactly what their ask is. I'm just passing along what they've sent me. Does that make sense?
You'd be speaking to them in the, if this passes, we'd be speaking to them and maybe inform them that annual requests of this nature probably are better requested at budget time than at the last minute.
I can let them know that.
Well, I have the same thing. I'm disappointed that this is an annual event and number 9 is not even met. And they did not answer this at all. So I thought that was a broad spectrum to say, we needed to pay the people that play music. We understand that, but I would like to know myself, if not necessarily before exactly what it was spent for, how it was spent, then afterwards. Because I love the program, I don't find that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It's just that I think it's necessary that I'm going to ask for money, have your ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. Or at least explain how you will explain it later.
Certainly. Had there been a representative here like there was from
right.
The FWBVA, some simple question could have been asked, and that could have been a little bit easier. Mike, do you have any comments?
Well, I feel like we should have better clarification of the funding before we take a vote.
Okay.
I'll get that for the next meeting from them.
All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I don't know, this could have been printed off prior to our conversation a few meetings ago, but I would like to see there be a date field on the application and a date of when they're filling it out and then the dates of the event. That way we have just a little bit more information. I think the resounding thing has been over the past several community grant applications is that we would just like to see a little bit more organization of these, which part of that is people that are filling out the information have to send us complete packets, with all of the information in it. So hopefully we can see that in the future. I think part of just training that are, people that are applying for the funds don't know, because maybe they've never done this before. They don't know when our budget is being written. They don't, so it'll take a little bit of time, but especially for these annual events, maybe by next year we'll have a little bit better organization.
All right, thank you so much. Our next item is the draft resolution discussion. Jeff, is there a staff report, please?
Yeah, so you had passed along an email to me, Mr. Mayor, from a gentleman that had, shall we say, concerns.
Mr. Graham,
yes. Broad concerns about the current status
of the executive orders that the governor has issued. He submitted several links to you that were informative in terms of different opinions from these different outlets around the state and their reflection upon the current status of things, in addition to a link to this draft resolution for city council consideration in the matter of a resolution supporting the protection of constitutional rights during emergencies. I think they take the name from the fact that the executive orders that have been declared to date have been because of the declaration of emergency. I reviewed this. There's nothing necessarily wrong with this messaging. I mean, it's a resolution. This is not passing a law. But it does take several perspectives in terms of the constitutionality of things and where we're at this point in time in terms of what the governor has done, what the Oregon Supreme Court has said with regards to what the governor has done, basically upholds those decisions. Now, I don't have a personal opinion on that one way or the other. I'm just stating what the Oregon Supreme Court has said. So we've taken this original draft that I don't know where it came from other than that Mr. Graham provided it to you, and then created a new draft that speaks to basically the rule of law in terms of if there's a question of constitutionality, then it goes to case law and what the adjudication of case law says about something until new legislation is passed. That's the proper order of in terms of how we review law. As a jurisdiction, as a home rule authority under the state constitution. So that being said, if there's a question of constitutionality out there, we're going to go by either what the constitution says right now, or we're going to wait until the highest court of the land makes a determination. Right now, the highest court of the land that's made a determination on this is the Oregon State Supreme Court. So what you have before you is their draft, and then draft with some changes to it. The yellow highlighted language is what's been added. I think it still speaks to the spirit of what they're asking for, but just makes reference to that sort of pecking order of essentially what we should be following in terms of guidance by law.
Right. Thank you so much, Jeff. I think that before we take any action on this, or before I request any action on this, that the council should review the proposed ordinance and then the resolution and then the one with changes. And then next, the council meeting, then we could have a final discussion and then probably take some action.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. All right, so that pretty much takes care of our stuff for the regular city council meeting. There is one more public comment session right now where we allow 3 minutes. Were there any other people that wanted to speak? And could you please come forward and then let us know your name and address?
Okay. My physical address and mailing.
Do you live in the city?
Yes, I do. I live here in Lapine. My name is Tawny Castro. I'm the leader of Girls Defense here in Lapine. I came to this meeting today because I got a screenshot saying the meeting would be talked about how our governor just defined some of the things she has said, and it doesn't seem like that was this meeting, so I must have misinterpreted. But I feel like that's really hard for me to talk. I really heard about this like 30 minutes ago, an hour, so I wanted to rush down here and make sure what is being heard. I really wish, I guess, coming here, these would be announced more to our people here in Lapine, because I didn't know about this meeting. There's nothing posted that I see that there was going to be a meeting today.
There is, just for your knowledge, there's a meeting every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, and agendas are generally posted in common places. Like, I think they put it on Facebook, it's on the city's website, it's on the door of the city hall, and I think that we used to put it on the Ace Hardware bulletin board, didn't we?
That was prior to my time, but the first few places you mentioned, we still put it. Typically, the Friday before the meeting, so 5 to 6 days before.
I guess. I mean, it's hard for me to be up here. It's like, it's a little nerve-wracking, but it's hard because I love the city of Lapine, so I don't feel like enough is being done with the whole mask mandate. So I'm wondering when exactly will this be discussed? What happens if we decide not to wear masks? Because now I'm hearing that we have to wear masks outside. What happened to my body choice? What happened to the medical choices? Our freedom, like my right as a person to decide what is best for me. Everyone is entitled to their medical belief, and now I feel like I'm being forced to take this. I'm gonna lose my job if I do this. It's not just me, it's a lot of government officials, and my dad works for the government, and he's told that if you don't take this shot, you don't have a job. How is this fair? I don't see how this is fair for anybody. And I just wish this would be more discussed on and a stop pretty much put to it, because it's not fair.
Sure, and I fully support your opinion in this, but these are rules by the state, not by the city. The city is not the enforcer of this situation, nor the informer of this situation. These are mandates that are provided by the governor.
I know, but the governor makes these laws, but me as an individual, I have the right to say what works best.
Certainly.
What if we stand together as a town and say enough's enough? What's going to happen? What's going to happen if we say no? My choice, my medical beliefs, all this, what's going to happen if we stand together? If we all just keep denying and just allowing these things to happen, there's incentives. You get incentives if you take a shot. There's a lottery only for the people that take a shot. I can't go into a restaurant unless I show my vaccination card. How are they? Just, I don't know, like, why can't we just stand together and say enough's enough? What's going to happen if we do? Business are going to go, yeah. And that's the sucky part. I own a farm, and thankfully I'm blessed to be able to provide for my family. But a lot of people don't have that luxury, and you're told you can't go to a restaurant because you have to, okay, so I go to a restaurant. My waiter, shouldn't he get show me his vaccination card if I have to show mine? I don't think that's fair. I just wish we would stand together as a community and say that's enough. I have so many amazing women in my group, and it's like now we're being told we can't meet together because now there's gonna be a mask mandate out in public. What do we do then? What's gonna happen if we don't wear the mask? Honestly, I don't know. Like, I refuse to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask outside. I have children with medical issues that prevent them from wearing masks. And my children are being told, hey, you can't come to school unless you wear a mask. They have medical needs. Still, they put masks on my children. And my children have seizures because they have lack of oxygen to the brain. But how come you can go to a restaurant and sit down, eat, not wear a mask? But our children who go to school, they have to mandate a mask when they sit at their desk. I wish these were talked about more. You guys do so much for our community, I understand that, but the reason why I came here today was because I thought the discussion was gonna be about the things really happening that are affecting people, not just like emotionally, but physically. Like, people are hurting themselves, children are hurting themselves because how mentally they can't take it at school. I've had one of my friend's children die suicide because they can't do this mask thing. I feel we need to stand together as a community and just do what we feel like is right. And I just wish more people would do that.
I totally appreciate your opinion and the way that you feel and your protection for your children. I would just assure you that the city is here for the well-being of all of the citizens that feel that the mask is required and the citizens who feel that the mask is not required. The city is a status quo for everybody and doesn't take a side one way or another. We're mandated by the governor to take and provide that everybody within this building, you know, takes and wears a mask, and that's kind of where we're at. whether our own personal preference or not, you know, we believe in that. While we're here, we do what we're, you know, what we're mandated to do.
No, I understand that, but I also think in our constitutional right, there's something that says in there, when we feel like the government is taking over, we have a right to step up and tell the government what we feel like. We have a right. I forgot the word. I would have been more prepared today if I knew this meeting was going to be held, but we have a right to withstand our government. We have a right to do all these things, and I feel like our rights are just the mandate. It's a mandate. We have to do what the governor says. But really, in our constitutional rights, it states that we have the ability to I forgot what it's called, just to stand up and overrun the government if we feel like they're doing wrong. And I feel like, I don't know, I guess there's not much more for me to say.
What did you say your name was?
Tanya Castro.
Tanya, okay. Just want to make sure I was addressing you correctly. And I'm still new here, and I apologize if I say anything incorrect, but speaking as an individual, I want to say I hear you. I understand where you're coming from. I work in healthcare outside of here. Some of us have jobs still outside of the council, and I feel it on a daily basis. I help with the youth group where we have teenagers who have struggled with suicidality, and it has been a challenge. So I hear you. It's so hard as a city, and I'm still learning this and learning to just grapple with it, that we have jurisdiction over a certain piece, right, of the government. And you have your schools who are under a different jurisdiction. You have the healthcare sector under a different jurisdiction. You have the state mandates that come down, and we don't have any jurisdiction over them. And so something I've been really thinking about is how can we make our voices heard in an appropriate way, in an effective way, right? The city does not have direct power to make some of the changes that maybe some of us would like to see made. So I don't want you and other constituents in this city to feel like we're not doing anything, or that we don't want to do anything, or we don't hear you. We hear you. Just like we hear the voices of the people on the other side of the fence that feel the other way. And it's really hard because we represent both sides. We represent all of you. And so please just hang in there. We do hear you. And we think on this. I speak for myself, at least when it's not just twice a month when we're here at these meetings, we're trying to think on how can we help your voices be heard? Because it matters. Your voice matters just like every other voice in the city matters. So please know that you're heard, okay? And this is hard. And this is very hard.
Obviously, the information I got from itwasrights.com, they said they would hold a meeting here. Obviously, something got changed around because that's the only reason why I was here.
Or no one here has ever heard of a rights.com scheduling any meeting here in any manner.
Because it
regardless what you read on the internet.
Yeah, it gives the address and talked about the meetings that would have here. And I shared the screen and it showed.
Right.
Is there a source, like online, that I can see when these meetings are, so I can be more, I want to be involved?
On the city's website, which would be lapineoregon.gov, there's a schedule of all of our meetings. And it happens every second and fourth Wednesday at 5:30 in the evening.
We also have a Facebook page, so make sure you go and like the Facebook page for Lapine.
And then you can see some of the things we will discuss on there.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because, yeah, I must have misunderstood what today's meeting was on that page.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, if I may. What I think might have happened is, given the email that you received from one of our constituents, when I looked at some of the links connected to that email, there are more organized groups around the state that are asking cities to consider some of these resolutions. They're asking local counties as well. And while I can't say for a certainty, I imagine that they're, you know, once they've done a blast of some of these emails to different groups, they're probably saying, these are the communities that we've contacted. They may be making assumptions that we're gonna have that piece of legislation up for consideration at the next meeting. They've made that assumption independent of talking to us. So that's unfortunate.
The date and the time. Yeah. This is important, this needs to be discussed. I need to know what's going on in my little town. So I will use the site that you gave me, but I will stay updated. I just wish there were more younger people like me that was more involved.
I would want to assure you that the council that's in place at this time fully believes in community governance, and the community can't be what the community wants to be unless they have input. So showing up at these meetings and providing your input is very important to the council. So we appreciate you coming here today. You know, I'm sorry that your topic wasn't really, you know, here today, but thank you so much for your comments.
All right. Thank you for listening to me. And I will stay updated better
because I know
for my group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments.
Good job,
Brian. Okay, so then is that the end of our public comments? So then we're going to move into staff comments.
Administration has no more comments at this time.
Jake?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll make a few comments. Just want to let everybody know that we're wrapping up our checklist items for the water and wastewater projects. There is numerous items on that list, and some of them require a lot of attention to detail or signatures from the Forest Service, BLM, stuff of that nature. And they take a little time, but we're wrapping up that checklist and hopefully we can get this project ready for bid and let it hit the ground running. I just wanted to give you an update that I was out of the office for an extended amount of time last month on vacation, and my crew really stepped up and took care of business while I was gone. Had a few issues pop up with some developers, and they handled it greatly, so I just wanted to give them kudos for that. And I have two workers that just got their wastewater collections operators licenses, Brandon Brin and Dylan Gardner, so I wanted to give those guys kudos too. Everything else is going great. Busy as usual. That's all I got.
Thank you so much. Jamie?
Nothing for me.
Alexa?
I just wanted to, is my microphone on? Okay, so last week at the Planning Commission meeting, we had two public hearings, and I sent the notices to you guys. You didn't have to come, I just wanted to let you know that both of the subdivisions, the 9 lot and the 89 lot, were approved, and the Planning Commission signed the final orders yesterday. So things are moving along.
Thank you so much. All right, Stacy?
Nothing.
Okay, so then we'll move into council comments. Courtney?
I have no comments.
Colleen?
I wanted to congratulate Alexa for being promoted to city planner.
And thank you
for all of the detailed information that you send us every week. I did, I wanted to say, Jake, remember last meeting I told you I couldn't find that trailer park on Finley Butte. So yes, I passed it hundreds of times, so I did find it. So I drove out there, and so that all makes sense. And I appreciate you sending the various decisions that are going on regarding the project out on Evans. If you haven't driven out on Evans to see that particular area where housing is going to go in, it's quite interesting. So I encourage you to make that drive. I wanted to thank Jeff for submitting that grant application regarding the sidewalks. I'm excited anytime we get more sidewalks in Lapine. I think it makes a huge difference for people to be able to walk their dogs, go for walks personally. It's just so exciting when we see more sidewalks added. So thank you on that and everything else that you included in your report. And I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that spoke tonight. It really makes a difference when you do come here, and like the mayor and Courtney and everyone up here feels, we do really genuinely appreciate the public coming and just submitting your requests or talking. So thank you.
Mike?
Actually calling Lynn well into my comment, I'd like to talk about our sidewalks. We need a lot better planning,
stricter rules. We've got no base under our sidewalk. I've looked a lot around town. It's been recently constructed. The dirt's falling away from underneath them. They're going to fall apart. We need to get a better plan and make sure that everybody that's installing these things is sticking to the plan. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're just wasting money. That's something I would like to see.
Oh, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I will defer to Jake Oberst here in a moment, but between discussions that Jake and I've had, we're holding contractors to higher standards now, whereas we used to maybe say, not us, Jake and I per se, but just the city, you'll need to do this as a condition of, you know, final occupancy for your building or your subdivision. We're now going out there, and if it doesn't meet 100% of the criteria, we're making them tear it out and do it again. That was recently discussion in the Crescent Creek area, not necessarily a polished development part of it, but a developer was not putting down the 3/4 minus sub base to the road. We knew the road was going to fail. He said, that's not going to pass muster. So I will hand it over to Jake and let him tell you a little bit more about that, but that is something we've discussed in great detail recently.
Yeah, so Jeff's absolutely right. We're definitely stepping up a notch. I'd like to see some of these spots that you're talking about, but I will assure you that moving forward and for the past while, we've been really taking a look at that. For example, we walked through subdivision bay. They're getting ready to do pathways and roadways. We made sure that they had the right proper base, amount of base, and compaction tests.
Good.
But I've seen several sidewalks in the area from years past that I'm surprised they're still even there. For sure. Like, even if I go look at a final on a project and there's a crack in the sidewalk already, we make them tear out that panel and put a new one in.
That's good.
Yep.
Thank
you. Kathy?
No, I have no comment.
Okay, I would just like to personally thank Jake and his employees for getting their water handlers, you know, permit things. And, everybody for showing up tonight. I really appreciate the VFW and the VBA stepping up and putting in real flagpoles because I think it benefits our community tremendously. And thank you so much, everybody that's shown up and spoke tonight, because that's how we obtain community governance, is by input from the community. So thank you so much, and we're going to close the regular council meeting. We'll give it about 5 minutes, and then we're going to go into executive session.